resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. We have a Savior who has promised those amazing things to us. We will see Don again. We look forward to that day. But today we will have that as the theme of our service, the hope and the joy that we have even in the midst of the valley of the shadow of death. Everything that you'll need for the service today is printed for you on the yellow bulletin. Hopefully you received one of those on your way in. Other than the words to the hymns, those will be found in the burgundy colored hymnal, which is in your pew in front of you. And we will begin now with our opening hymn today. It's number 748, I'm But a Stranger Here. Stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In holy baptism, Don was clothed with the robe of Christ's righteousness that covered all his sin. St. Paul says, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his." Our service continues now as we recite the 23rd Psalm together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. Let him sit alone in silence when it is laid on him. Let him put his mouth in the dust. There may yet be hope. Let him give his cheek to the one who strikes, and let him be filled with insults. For the Lord will not cast off forever. For though he cause grief, he will have compassion according to the abundance of his steadfast love. For he does not afflict from his heart, or grieve the children of men. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle reading is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. But should we stand for the verse?
Alleluia! Alleluia! Jesus Christ is the firstborn of the dead. To him be glory and power forever. Alleluia. Early gospel reading today comes from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 6, beginning with verse 25. Jesus said, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' The Gentiles seek after all these things. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Now, having heard the word of God, we join together in speaking the words of our faith, words that Don shared with us many times throughout his life. We do so using the Apostles' Creed. We confess together, "I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. 770, what a friend we have in Jesus. Don was, in my mind, the definition of what a farmer ought to be. He was an uncomplicated, unassuming man who lived a quiet, simple, Southern Illinois life in the greatest sense of all of those terms. He was a grain farmer. He was a dairy farmer. He was, by all accounts, a really hard worker. Don was born 80 years ago, almost 81 years ago, July 1945, just as World War II was finally coming to a close. He was baptized, confirmed, married, all here in the little village of Hoyleton. When you look at all of those pictures that are over there in the overflow room, and I hope a lot of you had an opportunity to take a look at some of those, these pictures of Don from over the years, to me, he just looks like the exact kind of picture, the exact kind of photo that you would choose if you had to put a picture next to the word farmer in the dictionary. That's what he looks looks like to me. He's often wearing the blue jeans. He's got a ball cap on that has, you know, some seed company's brand or logo on the top. He's wearing a t-shirt with the overalls. Sometimes it's a work shirt that's, you know, buttoned down, and he's got who knows what kinds of tools and gadgets in that front pocket. I mean, just to me, it just looks like a farmer. That was his life. That was his identity. He loved it. He loved the farm. He loved his family. Most especially, he loved his Lord. It's just simple country living, and maybe that wouldn't seem all that exciting to everybody else in the world, but Don seemed pretty content with all of it. From what I could tell over these last 9-plus years that I was blessed to be Don's pastor, he seemed to really embrace the uncomplicated nature of his life. He never won big Nobel Prize. He never experienced celebrity status of any kind. Most people in this great big world that we live in have no idea who Don Mashoff was. But you know, and I know, and there are plenty of people who are blessed to interact with him over the years that know how impactful a life like his can really be in this world. Don showed us that the things that the rest of the world tends to value, things like money and popularity and outward appearance and all of those other kinds of things, none of that is ultimately worth all that much at all. It's really meaningless in this world. Instead, with Don, what you saw was what you got. He didn't seem to waste his time trying to impress anybody. I mean, he was friendly, right? He never knew a stranger, super friendly, but really, he just was unafraid to say whatever was on his mind. I even just heard last night about how there were times when people would try to give him Christmas presents, and he would say, he didn't want any presents. Take the presents back. I already buy everything that I need, right? I mean, he just said what he was thinking, and I think that's really refreshing, especially in a world like ours today where it seems like there are fewer and fewer people who are willing to do that. What comes to mind for me as I think about all the conversations and the visits that I've had with Don over the years is that not only does he really embody what it means to be a farmer, but I think just the overall attitude and personality that he had are the kind of thing that actually Jesus himself was talking about with his disciples in the gospel reading that we just had a little bit ago from Matthew chapter 6. This passage here is part of Jesus' famous Sermon on the Mount. And in this section of that sermon, Jesus is encouraging his disciples and followers not to worry about things that ultimately don't really matter in the end. Because Jesus knows, the truth is, in this broken world full of sin, there's a lot of things that most people tend to worry a lot about and have a lot of anxiety about. We worry about food and drink. Jesus mentions food and drink. We worry about that because we worry that we have to make a living, right? We have to put food on the tables. We get anxious about those things. We worry about clothing. And not just about how much clothing costs, but we also worry about what other people are going to think about the kinds of clothes that we wear. We worry about whether we're going to have a long and healthy life here on this earth, which so many times is not even remotely within our control. And so Jesus' point here is that these are not the things that we should be spending all of our time thinking about. We should not be obsessing over worldly concerns as if that is the most important thing in our life. And certainly, Don was someone who didn't do that. He knew and believed exactly what Jesus says in verse 33, that if a person seeks first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all of these other things will be added to us. If we have our priorities straight, if faith and trust in God are the first and foremost thing, take the prominent place in our lives, then all those other things will eventually fall into place. If not in this world, then certainly in eternity. There's no sense in wringing our hands over what might happen or a future that is outside of our control. At us up to live a life where what you see is what you get. Now, Don did live that way. But actually, I would say that's something that really just applies to our earthly lives. And when we're talking about the spiritual component to this, there's actually the opposite thing that we should consider. Especially with somebody like Don, what you see is actually not always what you get. And I talked a little bit about this with the family here yesterday before the visitation. In this life, what we can see with our own two eyes, what we experience every single day, really leaves a lot to be desired. Because what we see more often than not is suffering. What we see is pain. What we see are the struggles of living in a world that has been completely tainted with sin and death. I remember when I first met Don 9-ish years ago, and it was because he was in the hospital. He was dealing with issues back then, and we all know that over these last couple of years, he had a lot of health issues, and he was moving in and out from the nursing home to the hospital. There were times when it kind of felt like we were chasing him all over. Every single hospital in this area, Springfield and Breeze and St. Louis, it just seemed like he was going all over the place. And there were a lot of times when you could tell that he was tired, he just didn't feel good at all. So if all we had was that, if all we had were the things that we could see, then there wouldn't be much hope in that at all, because for a long time, what we could see was exhausting. What we could see was frustrating. But on the other hand, what a wonderful blessing it is to be able to say that because of Don's faith in Jesus Christ, what we see, what he saw, is not ultimately what he got. But instead, what he got is eternal life in heaven. What he got is the promise of the resurrection of the dead. What he got is the hope that looks forward to the day when all of our earthly concerns and cares will be gone for good. Don always looked forward to that day, and I believe that's a big part of why he would always look forward to receiving communion anytime I had a chance to visit him. That was like the first thing out of his mouth. Did you bring communion today? I say, absolutely, Don. Absolutely. He wanted that foretaste of the heavenly feast that he is now enjoying. So that's great for him. Where does that leave us? Well, the same promise is true for each and every one of us, even on a day like today, that what we see is not ultimately what we get. I know that we can see a casket today, and in a few moments, we'll be seeing an open grave in the cemetery. We see death and its effects surrounding so much of what we experience in this world, but because of Jesus, what we see is not ultimately what we get. Or another way of putting that is to remember the words that St. Paul said in the epistle reading that we just heard from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. When it comes to having loved ones who pass away, Paul says he doesn't want us to, quote, grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. All about Jesus. And Jesus is the perfect example of someone who embodies the idea that what you see is not what you get. Because Jesus also appeared at first glance to just be a very simple, almost completely uninteresting person, right? Born into the family of a lowly carpenter and raised in a small town in Nazareth. And he didn't have a ton of money, and his entourage included fishermen. And when he did die, his death was one of a common criminal being crucified upon a cross. Thanks be to God, what we see is not what we get with Jesus either. Because this simple, humble man was and is the Son of God in the flesh. And his death and resurrection have opened the way for all of us to know what Don knew, that there is a hope that goes beyond what we can see with our eyes. It's our faith that gives us hope. faith that Don had his whole life. Faith that you and I share too. So in the coming days and weeks and months and years, even though we won't see Don here on this earth anymore, we remember that again, what we get is way more substantial than what we see. Someday when we too pass from this life, or when the Lord Jesus returns, just as he's promised to do, we are going to see him again. We're going to be reunited in God's heavenly glory, where sin will no longer distort the things that we can see. For the things that we can see in eternity really will be what we get, because what we get is eternal life. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith, Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Our next hymn is number 744, Amazing Grace.
strengthen us in the confidence that because He lives, we shall live also.